Monsignor Rogers, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, beloved seminarians, sisters and brothers in Christ. The first thing I'd like to do this evening is to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. The word Merry means a joyful Christmas. I think that it's very important for us to rejoice with all of creation tonight as we celebrate the birth of our Redeemer. And that's a reason for celebrating in our Christian tradition. It isn't because our families have gathered together with us, although that's something to rejoice about. It's not because we have received and are giving gifts, although that's something that's wonderful too. The reason why we celebrate and wish one another Merry Christmas is because in faith we come to know deeply in our lives that Jesus truly is our Redeemer and our Lord, and the world has been changed by his coming among us as a man. So Merry Christmas. I hope you feel that experience deeply in your lives. Our cathedral is fuller tonight than it usually is on a holy day or on a Sunday, and I think that's because it's such a wonderful feast, but also I know that many people who join us tonight are not members of the cathedral parish, so welcome to those of you who are from other parts of our community. And I think many people here tonight are probably not Catholics. So for those of you who are not members of our faith community, we also say welcome. And we hope that you'll take a serious look at us as a possible place for you to pray and come to know the joy of Jesus' love in your lives. There are many things that we could talk about in the Christmas season, but what I'd like to do tonight is talk about simply about three things, three of the basic symbols that are part of our celebration of Christmas. The first thing I'd like to talk about is the Christmas tree. It's part of the decorations in our homes, in our churches, and yet I don't think many of us understand the symbolic meaning of this tree in our Christian tradition. The second thing I'd like to talk about is God coming among us as a baby. You know, people are very much fascinated by the infant Jesus, and we take our children to the crib and we point out this is the baby Jesus. We know that Jesus, of course, grew up as a man and died for our salvation and rose from the dead. But at Christmas, we celebrate in a very special way that when God came to us, he came to us as a very small baby. What does that mean? And what does that invite us to experience in our lives of faith? And the third thing I'd like to talk about is the shepherds, who are part of our nativity scene and part of our Christmas celebration. So Christmas trees, the baby Jesus, and shepherds are the topic of my reflection this evening. First of all, the Christmas tree. In primitive times, especially among Germanic people in the north, where it snowed a lot and winter was very, very severe, there was a certain veneration among these people of the evergreen tree. Because despite the fact that everything else died around them, the evergreen tree stayed alive during the winter. And because of that, it was given a sacred quality, and they reverenced the tree as in having some sense of godliness. And when the church experienced the evergreen tree in the life of these Germanic people, the church began to see in their awe a possible step in the direction of understanding the mystery of Christmas. Another dimension of the Christmas tree was the fact that in the Middle Ages, people would sometimes decorate the Christmas trees, what we call Christmas trees, with apples, hang them on strings and dangle them around the tree, much like the way we use bulbs on our Christmas trees today. And they referred to the tree as the tree of life or the tree of paradise, reminding them of the tree in the Garden of Eden, which was a source of temptation for Adam and Eve. And the reason why this tree of paradise was celebrated in the Christmas season is because on the 24th of December, the church calendar in those days venerated our first parents, Adam and Eve. They were seen, despite the fact that they were the source of so many of our problems because of their original sin, they were seen as somehow saints in the life of the Christian community. And the reason why this became a symbol for the Christian community at Christmas time is because we, in our faith, believe that Jesus is the new Adam. Where Adam brought sin into the world, Jesus is the new Adam who brings salvation. And Eve, although she was the mother of original sin, was in some ways a forerunner of Mary, who was to become the new Eve, the new mother of salvation in giving birth to her son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the tree of paradise, or the tree of life, became part of the Christian celebration of Christmas time. And then in the 17th century, in the 1600s, we have an historical reference for the first Christmas tree as we have it today. It was called the Christbaum, or Christ tree, in Germany. And it was decorated with apples again, and with candy, and with flowers, especially roses, paper roses, because roses in the tradition of the church have been symbolic of the Virgin Mary. And that's where the Christmas tree comes from. It's a reminder to us of the gift of eternal life that doesn't end, that comes to us through the redemption of Jesus Christ. It does remind us that despite the sin of humanity, which began with Adam and Eve, we have a new fresh start with the birth of Jesus, who is a new Adam, and we have a new mother who intercedes for us in the new Eve, who is Mary. And we celebrate the reality of God coming to us and loving us in this tree, which is a representation of the tree of life. And I don't think many of us reflect on those things. Trees are just trees, and they're beautiful, but they have a religious and theological meaning that I hope we reflect on in this Christmas season. The second thing I'd like to reflect on is the meaning of God coming to us when he became a man as a child. I don't know if it's because I'm unmarried and I don't have children of my own, but I'm always hesitant to hold a newborn baby. I'm afraid I'm going to drop the baby or something. It seems so fragile and so dependent, and that causes me a hesitation when a mother will say to me, "Here, hold my baby, take a picture." It kind of scares me, because babies truly are vulnerable. They truly are innocent. They truly are dependent. And as we celebrate Christmas, one of the things the church wants us to do is reflect on the humility of God. You know, God, when he came to us, could have come in any number of ways, but chose to come among us as a human being, but also as a baby, and we celebrate that in a very special way in this Christmas season. Our God chose to be vulnerable and chose to be dependent. He became a child so that he would know there's nothing to be afraid of. Because none of us are afraid of children. I might be afraid to drop a baby, but I'm not afraid of a baby. No. Hope, Benedict XVI said it so well a couple of years ago when he, on a Christmas day, said these words: God's sign is simplicity. God's sign is the baby. God's sign is that he makes himself small for us. He does not come with power or outward splendor. He comes as a baby. God made himself small so that we could understand him, welcome him, love him. It's an extraordinary thing what we Christians believe, that God, the creator of the universe, who exists before time, chose in the midst of human time to bow down and come down, to become one of us, and to share our lives. You know, we sing in the Christmas season and in the Advent season, O come Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means with us is God. Not only did God become one of us, he became one of us to be with us in our daily lives, in our human struggles, in the midst of our families, and in the midst of our work. And that's what we Christians celebrate in faith as we celebrate the birth of Christ at the beginning of the Christmas season. The final reflection I have for you tonight is a reflection about the shepherds. I don't know how many of you played a shepherd in the Christmas pageants in your Catholic schools. We often did that in Catholic schools. And the teacher's pets always became Mary and Joseph, and then the rest of us became shepherds. You know, they were kind of minor characters in the nativity play compared to Mary and Joseph. But nonetheless, we have a tendency, because of our Christmas cards and because of scenes like the crib scene here, to romanticize about shepherds. But if you were a shepherd in the first century, the time of the birth of Christ, that was nothing to be romantic about. This is a description of them that I read the other day. Mangy, stinking, bathless, shepherds are in their ritual uncleanness an encouragement for all of us who lack religious status. I mean, when the angel announced the birth of Jesus to shepherds, the angel was announcing this great mystery to the people of that time who had no status. They were the dregs of society. They truly were mangy and stinky, and they didn't take baths. So when they appeared at the nativity scene, I'm sure that Mary and Joseph had to hold their breath. What does this mean? It means that God, when he comes to us in our manginess, in our spiritual bathlessness, in the stink of our lives. God didn't just come to kings and wise men, to a holy mother and a holy father. God comes to every one of us present here, and every one of us in this world, because that is what God is like. You know, God doesn't come for a few. God comes for all, and God wants all people to be part of his family. And that's symbolized by the angels pronouncing the good news of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. There's a second characteristic of the shepherds that I'd like to share with you this evening as my final reflection. One of the characteristics of this group of shepherds that we read about in the Gospel of St. Luke is that after they received the good news of Jesus' birth and rejoiced with Mary and Joseph and the angels, they decided to do something about it. This is what St. Luke describes in a later section of his Gospel. Speaking of the shepherds, he says, "When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds told them." Shepherds, having received the good news of Jesus Christ, were compelled to share that good news with others. They were missionaries. Were the first missionaries of the gospel. And they must have been extraordinary missionaries, because the Gospel of St. Luke says that those who heard their proclamation of the birth of Christ were amazed at the things that they had said. My dear brothers and sisters, for those of us who are believers, even if we come from messed up lives, and most of us do, God calls us to be missionaries. To spread the good news of the good news of the gospel of Jesus to the world around us. One of the greatest gifts you could give others in the Christmas season would be the gift of knowing Jesus Christ. Maybe go out from this celebration to be his missionaries in our world today.